Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
So I'm just going to repeat what I said on my SmackDown ups and downs. This French crown is the best thing ever. Merci beaucoup. Also, bonjour and welcome to Ups and Downs. I probably should have figured out what that was in French, but I didn't because I am an idiot for Backlash. That's right. Look at the weird time this is going live. Don't know why I said that. I don't know when it is going live. But here, it's the afternoon in America. So if you were in the good old USA, I hope you enjoyed it like I did. More international pay-per-views, premium live events, because it's nuts and we can still up those downs. What a smart start we had as well, because it was Kevin Owens and Randy Orton taking on the Bloodline, and I would just hit fast forward here, because they all came out, they all started to fight, security tried to break them up. When Nick Aldis arrived, like the dad, face-palming, he was like, listen, if you're just going to do this, you know what? I'm going to make it a street fight. You can just imagine how this audience reacted to this. They totally loved it. Roman Reigns was also getting cheers as well, so think of the 180 we've done since 2016. And then because they did go fight in the fans, Kevin Owens decided, I'm going to jump off Barricade and do a big splash. Then Randy was like, I think that's a wonderful idea. And instead he posed, and he didn't do it. I love that man. Now, he did hurl Tama Tonga into Alan the Announce table as Kevin Owens threw Solo Sikoa into Simba the Still's steps. And this was going to be the theme of the evening. All our ringside friends got absolutely murdered. Trash cans were then here too, and thank goodness somebody had thought to put them under the ring, because before the show started, we didn't know we were going to get a street fight. And then everybody was being whacked with kendo sticks, because you know the deal, I know the deal, we all know the deal. If you are going to do a hardcore fight in sports entertainment and you don't have a kendo stick, you're a massive geek. It was the tables after this, because we had to complete the Triforce, and Kevin Owens just used this instantly, because he splashed Tama Tonga through one. But this is when Solo said, wait a minute, we don't have to get hit with weapons all the time. And he took Randy Orton, and he went through the wood, and things started to turn. I mean, Tonga went and got one of these kendo sticks, and he was whacking people. The crowd started to call him an asshole, so that made me chuckle. When we finally looked at Paul Heyman, and my gosh, this dude was having kittens, whatever that means, but he was genuinely terrified. Everybody was then going through tables as these fans just lapped it up when Randy went, wait a minute, I've got a combo of moves I always do, when he finished it off with the RKO, and that led to our first 1-2, ooh. I won't lie, it kind of got me. Now, because it was Solo that broke this up, Randy looked to him like, how dare you do that? So he went to throw him through Alan the Announce table again. But my word, it did not break. And like a lot of moves on Backlash, that absolutely sucked. I mean, it looked like it sucked, but his back just went straight into wood. Kevin Owens clearly wanted to see this as well, because he then went crazy with all of these chairs when he grabbed Tama and did a fisherman suplex into this mess. Like, if your mum had seen it, she would have been absolutely mortified. And it looked like he was going to win, when you are not going to believe this. We had a debut that was such a surprise, I didn't even hear one rumour about it. And when the flub does that happen? But it was indeed Tangaloa from New Japan, or Tama Tonga's brother, meaning the Gorillas of Destiny are now in WWE, and that was not on my bingo card. And of course, because it is the Bloodline, and it is WWE being booked by Triple H, just as Kevin was about to win, he grabbed the referee and he pulled him out. I mean, that's basically like a signature maneuver. I did make a lot of noises, though, because I could not believe this. And after Owens had been hit with every single weapon they could find, he also got spiked. And you know the deal. That was the 1-2-3. But my word, what an incredible roller coaster this was. It also means the Bloodline continues to grow, and we played off that here too, because Paul was like, just leave him alone. Please just leave him alone. And I guess this trio did listen to him, and it ended with them all doing the Bloodline salute, because they are the ones, or the threes. And listen, there's another tease later too, but you really should find 20 minutes to watch this. It is pretty damn good. And I'm giving it a nap. Well, we kind of got the polar opposite after this. It was time to figure out who was going to be the women's champion. I don't know what I'm looking at. It also meant that it was Tiffany Stratton versus Naomi versus Bayley. And yes, let's just get it out the way. Nobody thought Bayley was going to lose here, so it did suffer a little bit. But the reason for that is because it would have been totally bonkers for Bayley to lose. But because the fans were just so excited to see them. Once again, it was an absolute hoot. Bailey and Naomi especially looked overwhelmed by their reaction. I tell you why Bells is so good. She started looking at the fans going, listen, I don't really know what you're saying, but it's making me feel warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum. As it was a triple threat match, we then got to all the three-way spots to begin, when Tiffany was just busting out those Alabama slams, when Naomi went, you know who's a friend of mine? Big E, and she did that spear through the ropes. That thing always terrifies me, it can go very, very wrong. Given that they were on the outside, though, Stratton then decided to do her springboard elbow out there into Barry Barricade, or Barry Barricade, I suppose. But this still irked me. Why can't we just leave him alone? I mean, he's dead in America, and now we're going to kill him in France. Bailey then came in with a dive when Naomi realised, wait a minute, I'm not doing anything at the moment, so she hit a split-legged moonsault, when she also saw Tiffany Stratton and absolutely whammed her with a set-out powerbomb. It's like, man, this is some good wrestling tennis. She also locked on a submission move, but that's when Bailey came off the top with the big elbow to break all of that up, when she too heard Tiffany coming, so she gave her the Bailey to belly, and by this point, we were getting 1-2-ooh, 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 and then if you were watching, you would know, because guess who was screaming along with every one of these? It was these wonderful fans. Tiffany then decided it was Tiffy time because she just threw Naomi into the edge of Alain, the announce table, which made me go all sad in my tootsie toes when she was going to do that double moonsault again. But it turns out there was a reason we kept on doing it, because this time Bailey and Naomi did get out of the way and they hit the 3D. Kind of applauded that. It was a nice spot. I mean, the good guys could then go at it because the bad guy had been taken out. And incredibly, they decided we are going to have the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll-up battle. And even though it looked like Naomi was going to do it, Bailey counted hers and she got the 1-2-3. I was like, actually, that kind of works there, because if you want to make an excuse for the other two, you probably can. And look, yes, some of this was a little bit wonky because we were trying to get three people in the right position, but overall, I very much enjoyed it. And of course, Bailey and Naomi hugged afterwards because they are good people. I mean, if you want to watch this as well, you're not going to be disappointed. When we got back to the teasing, I told you about this. Of course we did. We saw Jimmy Uso getting ready for his match when the Bloodline walked past. They all kind of looked at each other as Jay looked at them. But when Paul Heyman locked eyes with Jay, his whole body language was screaming, please help me, please help me. So this isn't building to the Gorillas of Destiny versus Uso match down the line. I don't know what we're doing. And not in my wildest dreams did I ever think I'd see that in WWE. And I can tell you straight, very, very excited. All of this, of course, meant it was time for Jay to go after Damian Priest's world title. And I'm just going to say what I always say in terms of when we are in France. No, nobody thought that he was going to win. These fans went crazy. Although I tell you this, I thought it was so well structured. Well, they made an idiot out of me. And they did have a lot on their shoulders too, because they are going to be carrying Raw for a while, so they needed to do a good match. And the story here was that we were told Damian Priest can't let these fans get in his head, because that will throw him off his game. But he looked fine to me because he started to beat the absolute murk out of Jey Uso. I mean, he grabbed him off a dive and just hurled him into Barry Barricade, so we were doing that again when they started throwing punches and we basically got a yeet off. So when Jey Uso hit someone, we got yeet. And then when Damian Priest hit someone, we got a no yeet. And I sat there in my hotel room. I just thought wrestling is the weirdest thing ever. But for some reason, I'm madly in love with it. Maybe I'll get married. There was one point when I was like, man, we are not doing the whole babyface thing with Damian Priest at this juncture. When all of a sudden we switched that on a dime, because who came down to cast distraction? It was JD McDonough. But when Damo saw him, he was like, what are you doing here, you absolute goober? I told you not to bother. It did lead to the first 1-2-ooh as well, because Jey Uso used that to hit the splash. And this is where I'm going to hit my hands up. And that one, I was like, well, of course that was going to happen. But actually, we had more planned, as you probably already figured out, by the last one. Well, I actually thought Jey Uso was going to win because I'm a moron. I haven't looked yet, but I bet at least one person was going, this wouldn't have been as good as it was if the crowd wasn't as crazy as they were. As I've told you before, I hate that excuse because it's like saying, oh, this Batman game wouldn't be good if Batman wasn't in it. Batman's flipping in it. You're playing as Batman, so it's a stupid thing to say. Now, Priest didn't care about any of that, and he hit the razor's edge for his own 1-2-ooh. And given that Jey Uso followed this up with a spear for another 1-2-ooh, I was like, wait a minute. This is Backlash, and we're doing WrestleMania kickouts. What the flub is on the menu? Uso then tried to go back up top, but this is when Finn Balor was here as well, and he was able to cast distraction once more, which of course meant Jey Uso fell right into Damian Priest's big choke slam, and Damian Priest won the match. Although he didn't do that. That's when Jay kicked out, and this is when it did get me. Look at me melt into the wall. These two then unleash everything, including a bunch of super kicks, so again, those people on the internet will be really mad. But Jay got the better of it, and he hit the splash again. This is what I actually said out loud, because I'm by myself. Well, They're not going to have Damian Priest kick out of two of those. Are we actually about to see a huge title switch? The ref went one, the ref went two. And this is when JD McDonagh was back and he put Damian Priest's foot on the ropes. And I tell you, that is one of the best near falls in ages. Because again, I totally bit on it. I told you I'm a Poindexter. Paul Russo was getting totally ruined at this point though, because it was 3-on-1. So finally he turned his attention to Finn Balor and JD McDonagh and he took them out. You know the deal with wrestlers. If you take your eyes off the wrestling match, you have made a huge, huge error. Because even though he tried to go back up the top, by this point, Priest had taken his med pack. He stopped him. He went up there instead, where he had an avalanche choke slam and knew that was the end, and it was the 1-2-3. But even though the Judgment Day jumped in to try and beat up Jey Uso, this is when we went back to our own teasing here, because Dane was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm very disappointed in both of you, and I'm turning this car around and we're going home. There is your Raw story, though, and more power to WWE for tying this in. I actually thought it was a great match. And yes, this crowd most definitely thought so. Up.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
A French man then told us that this was the biggest ever gate for an arena show when it comes to WWE. So that's how hot they are right now, when it was time to figure out who is going to leave France with the women's tag team titles. Because it was, of course, Jade Cargo and Bianca Belair taking on the Kabuki Warriors. And for the first 5 or 8 minutes of this match, clearly Oscar and Kairi Sane were told, listen, you're very good at selling, you're very good at bumping around, and I need you to do that for these two and turn them into superheroes. It was an absolute laugh riot because they were getting chucked around like ping pong balls. But honestly, it was like watching a tank go through bar. Why a tank would want to do that, I don't know. The best thing about Oscar and Kairi Sane is that when they were being thrown up into the sky, they were doing these screams. It was genuinely funny. Of course, eventually they did this crazy thing on the outside to Bianca Belair so they could cut her off. And then they also made sure they cut the ring off too. They were like, you want to tag Jade Cargill? Well, we're not going to let you because we are the tag team champions. But at one point, they even used Bianca to stop her getting to Jade. I know that sounds like 2 + 2 = potato, but that's what happened. Given that it was a WWE tag team match, though, you obviously knew what was going to come next. And as soon as Jade did have sweat coming off her palm, hot tag. Now, there was some nonsense here, yes, because nobody could actually figure out who the legal person was, but I just thought that was funny. And it didn't take away from anything here. And at one point, the Kabuki Warriors had double arm bars on, so what did Jade and Bianca do? They both powered out of it and hit power bombs. Look, sometimes I just want this wrestling. I just want to watch two strong people be strong. Okay? There, I said it. Eventually, Jade was in the ring with the Warriors too, and she was just binging them around again when Bianca joined her, and they did this crazy wheelbarrow double team move. And listen, that was broken up at the last second, but if they had got the victory off of it, I wouldn't have had a problem with it at all. At this point, I was going like, oh my gosh, every match on this show has gone above and beyond, when I realized I don't even know if that's true or not, because the constant noise just made everything feel so much better. But don't make me tell you the Batman analogy again with Dallas. Oscar then decided she would just boot Jade right in the head, and that led to Kairi hitting the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll-up. When that didn't work, they got mad at Bianca, and she went into Rita the ring post. Instantly, the Kabuki Warriors also hit their double-team finish with the insane elbow. I tell you, that was broken up at the 1-2-0 as well. This was very good timing by Jade Cargill. Oscar and Sane then started to boot her once again, which was a terrible idea, because when Kairi went to the top rope, she jumped into the arms of Cargill, who I tell you is just a hero who is super, because she just moved her around and turned it into the jaded position, and she hit her move. I was like, that may be the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life, hyperbole. Bianca instantly returned too, and she hit the KOD onto Oscar into Kairi Sane. So at this point, these two were totally dead. And of course, Jade and Bianca pinned them for the 1-2-3. And we do have brand new tag team champions. Now listen, I don't know whether we did this because the crowd has been so over the top, they deserved it. But even still, Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair with these championships, well, it just gives me all the hope in the world that finally we are going to rehab them. Because for a long old time, well, basically WWE forgets. Moreover than that, though, it was just the sheer effort that everybody put in here. Once again, it's a round of applause. Once again, it's getting it up. As it was a short card too, we were right into our main event, which was for the super duper WWE title. And yes, this kind of suffered like other matches did, because nobody in their right mind thought that AJ Styles was going to win. But we've talked about this. You have to go back to WrestleMania when Stone Cold Steve Austin became the champion. His first opponent after that was Dude Love. And why was it Dude Love? Because everybody know that Mick Foley would give him a good match. And that's exactly what we were doing here. And I tell you, mission success. I think Michael Cole also said that AJ Styles was wearing the same wrestling gear as he did when he defeated Dusty Rhodes for the NWA title 21 years ago. And if that is true, well, let's just get into it. The hater of the year, boy. I mean, Drew McIntyre is still number one for obvious reasons, but AJ has now cemented his second place, because not only did he fly to Australia to be at LA Knight, now he's fighting old clothes of the deceased father of his opponent. And he's totally crazy. I'm going to put Tama Tonga and Tangalara at number three, because again, let's not forget that Loa also flew to France to create a fuss, whereas Tama Tonga keeps trying to kill people. And then at four is Christian Cage. I mean, for the reasons you're already thinking about, but also on Dynamite, he was like, Swerve, I've been thinking about what you did to my fake son for 6 months, and now I've decided to get revenge. It's not normal behavior. Jack Perry does move into number five as well, because his response to being suspended was attempted murder. So there you go. As I'm sure you figured out too, Cody Rhodes was so over here, they barely did anything to start. And even when they did, Cody would do a move to AJ, so AJ would do a move to Cody, so Cody would do a move to AJ, and AJ would do a move to Cody. Then they'd just look at each other for a while. So it was basically 1985 wrestling all over again, and I didn't mind at all. My favorite part is when Rhodes got his revenge from SmackDown, because he sucker punched AJ when he did the Stardust cartwheel, and France reacted like, I don't know, he was the greatest person in the world, and I joined in too. Let's bring Stardust back and make him the champ. Surprise, surprise, eventually they did use the whole shoulder thing that had happened in the Cody Rhodes versus Carmelo Hayes match, and I knew that was going to happen, because Edge grabbed him and he threw him into Tina the Turnbuckle, and not only did he go after this like white on rice, but he also started to work over Cody's back, because I told you, he's not a nice man. AJ then went for something, but Cody instead threw him into the ropes, which looked horrible because he had that whiplash thing. But as it ended with them both on the outside, they started throwing each other into Alan, the announce table. I was just laughing at that point. I was like, was that just in every single match? I mean, why not? Cody then remembered we also had Simba the Steel Step, so Styles went into them. When they tried something off the top rope, I don't know whether it was meant to fail or this was an accident, but Styles still used it to his advantage because he went after Cody's back again. They then traded shots because they knew the fans were going to go, yeah, boo, which they did do. When eventually Cody busted out that sap power slam, I couldn't help but transport myself to the future here. I was like, man, when we get that Cody Orton feud, this maneuver is absolutely going to be spam. Styles came back with his knee to the neck as he went absolutely crazy because they made their way to the ring apron where he basically hit Cody with this ring apron, which is the hardest part of the ring, brain buster. I mean, Cody landed more on his back, but the angle he came down on, if you told me he got hurt off this, I'd believe you. Rose must have taken a Phoenix down though, because he was up instantly, and when Az jumped to him, he grabbed him and he powerbombed him through along the announce table. So once again, this poor guy was getting wrecked, and we teased a count out here. They both got back in at nine. Rose then went for the Cody car, but somehow AJ got out of the way of that and put him into the tombstone position. Imagine he had have done that. I mean, thankfully he didn't, but I couldn't help myself. Instead, he went after Rhodes' back again, and the whole time these fans just didn't let up, and they elevated this to a crazy level. I just want to say I appreciate it. Styles then got the springboard 450 for a 1-2-0, and despite his age, he still does that better than anyone. He was so pissed off it didn't work. He basically hit Rhodes with a burning hammer. And this is when things got totally crazy, because Cody did the whole one kick out. It's not a 1-2 ooh, it was just a 1 ooh. And the fans were so surprised, it took them a few seconds before they did react. I was like, what? You've been going nuts the whole evening, but somehow it made it even better. Bravo. Rhodes had hit the Cody cutter out of nowhere, so he got a 1-2 ooh, and AJ Styles was going to go for the nominal forearm, but he got super kicked in midair. I was like, well, what else do they have? And you ain't going to believe it. I mean, you will. I'm just trying to wind it up. Because Cody decided to apply the Kimura, because he'd done all the other maneuvers, so why not do this? And when they tried to get each other in their finish, it ended with a surprise roll-up battle. So I was laughing when Cody decided, well, I know what I've got. A top rope Cody cutter, and this looks so damn good. Styles sold it like death. It also led to the first crossroads, so I sat there like an absolute goober, going, well, of course, I'll hit 47 more of these, because he loves doing that. But no, it was a one and done. He did get the 1-2-3, so now we've learned a brand new lesson. The crossroads has been leveled up again, but also, if he hits that after that top right Cody cutter, you absolutely done. I really did think this was awesome, though, from the noise, from the intensity, to all the moves they busted out, and it's just a treat to watch, because everybody was putting such positive vibes out there, so it does get an up. The show gets an up, but again, because of the fans, because of the crowd, because of the audience, I am giving it a golden up. It is worth the entry price alone. Let's not pretend either. When you did look at Backlash on paper, you're like, man, I'm sure it will be okay. But it went way higher than that. And it reminded you why wrestling is so damn good, and why one of the best things WWE has done over the past couple of years is international pay-per-views. Premium live events. Now, of course, please do leave me a comment below and let me know what you thought about WWE Backlash. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Click this video on the screen, which is me talking about SmackDown, which is just the same going, oh man, French fans, they're brilliant. But they are brilliant, and they should be put in the production trucks and just be driven around the entire world, even though I think that's illegal. We'll end there. Thank you. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.